hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. It's been a packed show to this point. Nick Saban introduced as minority owner of the Predators. We had the former governor, Bill Haslam, on, who's majority owner of the Predators. And now we talk some football with John McClain down in Houston. John, Merry Christmas. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas to you. How about those Titans?
They're looking a lot better. I don't know what that necessarily means for the future, but they're finishing. You know, they're probably not going to get the number one pick now, which is, look, I say go out there and win games and play as hard as you can, and they've done that. But it's certainly good to see them end the season on a good note.
Oh, I think it is. They've already played their way out of the top build after the top pick, which would help jumpstart their rebuild, but man, everybody wants to win games. I know Cam Ward, I saw that he looked pretty good. So that was very encouraging. People ought to be so fired up about the offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Looking at Kansas City, though, I mean, we talked about it last week. You know, now Minshew's hurt, and I think I've read that he's avoided a torn ACL, but it's not going well for them. And even though, yes, they've won the three Super Bowls, is this team about to go through a pretty large rebuild outside of the quarterback?
Yeah, I don't buy it. They still got a lot of really good players. As long as Mahomes and Andy Reid are there, and they've got Chris Jones, Travis Kelce hasn't said he wants to retire. He's coming off a pretty darn good season. They got two young, talented receivers. They spent a lot on their offensive line in the draft and free agency, and they lost five of them. Those guys will be back. Their defense was good. You still have one of the all-time great defensive coordinators, and people won't pick them to be in first place, but I think they will be back as a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
John, just about 30 minutes ago, Adam Schefter put out that the Chiefs are going to move to Kansas starting the 2031 season. I guess they've played in Arrowhead, what, since day one?
Oh, gosh, I think it's since 72, early 70s, that they played. The old AFL team, when they originally started, played, I don't remember where it was, but it wasn't at Arrowhead.
They were in Dallas, right?
Yeah, and then I don't know if they moved straight into Arrowhead Stadium, but I think it's 72. As someone who's been through multiple stadium negotiations, right, I'll believe it when it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Kansas City, Missouri voters rejected putting tax money in there. Politicians couldn't pull it off. And I'll say this for new stadiums. Once they're done and the building starts, nobody complains. You don't hear any politicians stepping up and saying, well, this is a terrible deal. No, they all get with the program. And usually if you're in office and you lose an NFL team, you're soon to be out of office.
Yeah, right. With all that being said, John, we'll get to the Titans for a second. Look, we're in the bubble here in Nashville, and Chase and I like Cam Ward. Where you are outside the bubble, what do people say about Cam Ward? What do you think about Cam Ward?
I think Cam Ward is a very talented quarterback who doesn't have a lot of talent around him. I think everybody knows that. His head coach and play caller was gone. They haven't done him any favors. Now they're going to bring in a new head coach with a new coordinator, new system, new play callers. That's the worst thing you can do to a young quarterback. Hopefully the next guy they hire will be there for quite a while and he can start to see some consistency. As far as people around the league, I don't know anybody that's paid much attention to Ward and the Titans. They've been so bad this season. I know the Texans, they like him. They understand what he's up against, but they know he's very, very talented. You know, the thing about having your own documentary as a rookie and saying you want to be involved in a coaching search, you know, that's the kind of thing you tell the team. You don't tell the public. And he showed some signs of immaturity, but he's there to stay, I can tell you this.
John, do you have a problem with him saying he wanted to meet the candidates? I mean, not necessarily, you know, I want to hire this guy, that guy. I got no problem with your franchise quarterback sitting in with the head coach and asking questions. That's me, but a lot of people, John, had a problem with him saying that.
Well, I think having seen it publicly, he shouldn't have done it. You know, that's team business. Just keep your – put a lid on it. And most teams have their top players talk to coaches. And that's commonplace. So I think, yes, a guy, they're going to interview offensive coaches. They would want him talking to the head about head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback coach.
Talking to John McClain down in Houston. With the Jags having their big win yesterday, they, you know, currently control the NFC South, but Houston, I guess, still has a chance at the division. And am I right in saying that? They're definitely in the playoffs, it looks like.
Well, they're not definitely in the playoffs. They haven't clinched it yet. And if they play the way they played yesterday against the Raiders, when their offense stunk it up for three quarters and their defense gave up three touchdowns for the second game in a row against the dog, and they've given up five touchdown passes in the last two games. Jacoby Brissett and Geno Smith, they were fortunate to win, but it's seven in a row. Ties the second longest string in history. They play the Chargers. Maybe they were bored, but I tell you what, they were getting booed like crazy, and most of it was their bad play calling by their coordinator, Nick Cayley, who has not distinguished himself. And I do not see this team going on the road and winning a couple of games. They've never been a wild card. They're going to be a wild card for the first time. Jaguars clearly the best team in the division, and we have to seriously consider Jacksonville's Super Bowl contender.
Do you think, though, that even though they beat Denver yesterday, that Jacksonville could compete with the Broncos and the Patriots?
Absolutely. They just beat the Broncos by two touchdowns. I think they could beat the Patriots, whether it was home or in the road. I think Jacksonville, with that offense, Liam Cohen, there's going to be the toughest thing to vote on in the, right 2 days after the season ends is all the postseason awards. And Coach of the Year is going to be so difficult. Liam Cohen, Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson. What about Kyle Shanahan doing the best job he's ever done? If the 49ers win out, they win home field advantage in the NFC over Seattle and the Rams. And Sean Payton has done a fabulous job with the Broncos. So, yes, I think Jacksonville right now can beat anybody. They've got a stretch going where they've scored 25 or more points in record six or seven games. When they blew the Texans game here in the fourth quarter to drop to 5-4, whatever they were, I thought they'd go straight down the toilet, and they haven't lost since.
John, it was fun watching the Sunday night game between the Patriots and the Ravens when the Ravens took command, took control. A lot of things not going New England's way. They'd keep cutting to Vrabel, and he was, whole thing was like, all right, just breathe, calm. And to watch that football team come back, John, and not panic last night, he's built something there that's beyond football, John. It's a team. It's a unity. And you hear the guys talk after the game last night about that culture in New England, which wasn't there 12 months ago. I mean, to me, that's the coach of the year.
That's what a coach can do for you. And they bounced back from blowing that 21-0 lead at home against Buffalo. I was really curious to see what they do. They did it on the road, you know, there. I don't see them being a Super Bowl contender, but I certainly see them, you know, they are a contender to get on field advantage in the playoffs, and Mike's done a tremendous job, but so have Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen and some others. But Drake May's playing great. The unsung hero up there is their offensive coordinator. You know, McDaniels bombed out as a head coach twice. Vrabel brought him back, and he's always done a good job. He never got the attention he deserved because Brady was the quarterback. And then if you look, Mac Jones had a good season under Josh McDaniels. Then he went down the toilet when McDaniels left. And, boy, Drake May, he looked good last year, but he has excelled this season.
Any chance he wins MVP, John?
No, I don't think Drake May wins it. They played the easiest schedule in the league. I think Matthew Stafford's going to win MVP.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. John, in the NFC, I mean, we've talked so much about the Rams and the Seahawks, and what a great game. Might be the game of the year on Thursday Night Football this past week, where the Seahawks go for it in overtime, go for two, and they win the game. But, I mean, is the NFC in your mind between those two teams right now?
Well, the 49ers could end up with home field advantage. They play tonight against the Colts and Indy. And then if they win the last three, they're the ones with the home field advantage. I can't imagine that. I watched the Texans hammer the 49ers here, and I thought, well, they'd be lucky to make the playoffs. And Kyle Shanahan has done a tremendous job navigating injuries, but also they left a lot of veteran players out on the streets or trades last offseason because they had to clear up the salary cap. Just like Sean Payton did it with Denver, Sean Payton's pointed out or shown that you can do that, and if you're a great coach, you can still win. San Francisco's done that. A lot of people think Kyle Shanahan is doing the best coaching job of his career. I don't see one of the teams from the North, certainly not the South, which Tampa Bay could still win if it beats Miami and beats Carolina last game. Baker Mayfield basically gave that one away when he and Mike Evans misread a route, and it was intercepted on their last play. Carolina may win it, but in the East, maybe Philadelphia starts playing better. It's hard to tell when a team beats up on a bad team. But right now, to me, the Rams and the Seahawks are the best team, two best teams in the NFL, probably destined to play a third time.
With the Buccaneers, if they miss out and miss the playoffs and Carolina ends up winning that division, is Todd Bowles in trouble?
A lot of people seem to think so. I don't buy it. You know, he's won the division, and they've overcome injuries this year, like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving. He's a really good defensive coach. He's done better than I thought he would as a head coach, his second chance. But I don't see after one bad year, not a bad year, a mediocre year, that he would get fired.
And then, you know, everyone is looking at it looks like the Lions are not going to make the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying Dan Campbell's going to get fired. But does the rambling riverboat gambler man catch up to him? And maybe that's a bigger discussion in the offseason when it comes to him in the front office.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Because he has turned around that franchise, and yes, he's done a lot of meat-headed things that sometimes you want to go, oh, my God, what are you doing? Cost him his trip to the Super Bowl. Everybody thought it was cute back then. But after a while, when it keeps backfiring on you, some of these coaches, I saw the other day somebody go for two in the first quarter, and I'm thinking, you don't go for two till you need two. Forget about analytics. Analytics doesn't take into account the weather, the wind, where you're playing, who you're playing, who's injured in your offensive line, who's hurt in the other team's front seven. And that's why they need to pay more attention to common sense. And sometimes you wonder if Dan Campbell has any.
Right. We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, your thoughts? I've always been a closeted New Orleans Saints fan. Just when Ditka was there in the mid-90s, I love him. What is going on now? I mean, they are playing. They might be the best team in football right now. I know they're still 5-10, but they're knocking off teams left and right, and they're having fun doing this.
They are, because they were so bad. They've taken advantage of a weak schedule, and they're winning, and people are fired up. Not for this season, but for next season. You know, they always have a terrible salary cap situation, whether Deshaun Payton's there or not. They always have to make major changes to their roster and to their salary to get below the cap when the new league year begins in March. And I'm thinking they like Tyler Shuck. They gave him time to develop. He's played well. Their defense has played well. People like Kellen Moore. But if you're a Saints fan, you got to be fired up. Unfortunately for the Saints compared to the Titans have room to money to spend on free agents. They don't have to change their roster because of salary cap issues like the Saints do.
Oh, absolutely. John, that game Saturday night between the Bears and the Packers was fantastic. I mean, it was everything you would want from a Bears-Packers game in late December. But Caleb Williams, I mean, they last year, like, oh, this guy maybe not be the guy, not the answer for this football team. But, my goodness, I know Ben Johnson did a great job, but what a game, what a performance by Caleb Williams. And this Bears team, John, I think is very legit.
Kind of like a lot of my friends up there in Nashville are saying about Cam Mark, right?
Right, exactly.
That shows if you get the right coach and he instills the right culture, which is attitude, and you use your money right and your draft picks, which the Bears have done. Ryan Poles, the GM, over 2 years was rebuilding, and he was very smart to make sure the offense was going to be talented for the new quarterback. They get the number one overall pick, which they never thought they would get. They draft Caleb Williams. He struggled big time. And so they make changes, and then you bring in Ben Johnson, who turned down everybody for 2 years. He wanted to go somewhere where he had what he thought was a great quarterback prospect. So that's why the Titans got to make sure they get the right guy. Use those draft choices as well as all that free agent money like the Patriots have. And I'm not saying they're going to bounce back and go to the playoffs, but they can show significant improvement.
Absolutely. John, the Pittsburgh got a big win yesterday, but unfortunately we're talking about what happened with DK Metcalf during the game. Do you ever recall an instant where a player allegedly went into the stands and slapped a fan or what went on? Because this is just all bizarre.
Well, he went over to the stands, and he was by himself. I've seen players want to go toward the – take steps toward the stands, especially the old stadiums that a lot of them like in Oakland. The old baseball stadiums had stands where the fans were close behind. When the Houston Oilers used to play there with Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews, they were so close to some fans, they could hear everything the fans were yelling. And the fans used to yell at their guard, Doug Dawson, who had a humongous stomach. And Munchak and Matthews said they would start laughing. They wouldn't let the fans know because their backs were to them. The creative, terribly, terrible creative things they would yell. So I've seen it where a player would get mad and head toward the stands and teammates would run over. Security would run over. You wonder where in the world was the Steelers security.
Right.
Where were assistant coaches, teammates, where were they? And he said that he had problems with that guy before in Seattle. He should be suspended. I don't care what the guy was yelling, and they're saying it was all racial. You can't go over and take a swing at a fan. You just can't. So he'll get fined. And because the Steelers are a playoff race, they may not suspend him, but I think as an example, you cannot do what he did.
Absolutely. John McClain is with us. Going back to the Titans for a second, I think I know the answer to this, but the way they have played, especially since the bye week, and granted the two teams they beat, one isn't very good and the other is just really beat up and not playing very well and their quarterback's out, but has Mike McCoy made a case to get this job full-time, or do you think this is just the right circumstance and the team has played better?
Mike may end up getting an interview out of courtesy, but he's not going to be the next coach. And I'll say this about the Chiefs. I just looked at the defensive stats. They had their defensive players. They just didn't have their quarterback. They had both running backs, and the Titans got so far ahead, they were only able to run the ball 15 times. Tennessee's running game was better with Tony Pollard in the blocking. So I don't think he's going to be the guy. I keep hearing as one of the guys, Matt Nagy, spelled Nagy, but pronounced Nagy, back with Kansas City, that Bagonzi was there forever, that he's a candidate. Yeah. And I would say this, maybe And you look back what he did in Chicago with Trubisky, it was pretty good. But if you bring in a guy from Kansas City or Green Bay, because Bagonzi and Brinker were with him for years, boy, that guy sure better work out or they're going to get fired. And that search has got to be extended. I don't care if you got to interview 10 people. You cannot make this mistake. But as I've told you before, I think it'll be an offensive-oriented coach who has called plays maybe multiple years, could be multiple teams, could be a former head coach. But they got to make sure to get it right. And I think out of a courtesy, probably Mike McCoy will be the first person they interview.
John, will we ever get a firm call on a pass interference? Will it ever be uniformed? I mean, that play last night with the Ravens page, I mean, when the receiver gets tackled and they don't call anything, you know, you go back to the Rams, Saints, and the NFC Championship game. I mean, are we always going to have a problem with this?
The only way it will ever have a chance to be better is to let coaches challenge any play. You don't get extra challenges, it won't make the game longer. But if a play like that, if the replay officials looked at that, they'd say that was clearly interference, and they would say it immediately. But for some reason, Bill Belichick promoted this like crazy every year when they had their rules changes, probably because he did it, and the league office hated him, and he hated them. Because he was proposed it, they wouldn't do it. But it people, I don't know why they won't. It won't make the game longer. But if net coaches would save a challenge for situations like that, and it was just blatant. It was terrible.
Right. Yeah, and I've always said for years, you know, if once they get 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, let the defender and the receiver just fight for the ball. That way you'll know. I can push you down. You push me down. I mean, we're never going to have this uniform on this, right? It's never going to happen. It's always going to be a problem in the game.
Well, they'd be tackling that guy as soon as they got the 11 yards. Most right? of the time, they do a good job. But when you see something like that, it is terrible. And it makes me also want the sky judge. Because if guy sky judge, as soon as that's over, he hits the button, tells the referee, you know, DPI on number whatever.
Yeah,
and
right.
boom, it's done right there. It's announced. But they've resisted that as well.
John, real quick, earlier today, the Predators introduced the former Houston Oilers DB coach as a minority owner. I think he's done some other things, too, but that was Nick Saban. I don't know how much you dealt with him when he was in Houston, but Floyd always talked fondly of him, and they obviously had a close friendship.
Nicky Martini, Nick Satan, that's what they call him here in his two seasons as secondary coach, 88 and 89, under Jerry Glanville, went to the playoffs both years. Saban's got so many millions. I always wonder, he must be getting a fortune from Aflac and that vacation thing he does, because he's a multi-millionaire owning those car dealerships, Mercedes dealerships, but more power to it. And I knew him when he was competing with a guy named Pete Carroll to be the secondary coach for the Oilers. And he, of course, has had a great career, and I love him on game day. I wish he was the center of attention, and Pat McAfee took second fiddle like Saban does, because I want to hear what Saban has to say about everything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. John, thank you as always. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will talk next week.
Jason, Joe, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and all your leaders, listeners, and happy holidays.
Our leaders need it too.
Yeah, right?
That's for sure. Thank you, John, for joining us here on the show. Come back and talk a little bit more about the Titans. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Oh, love it. Bridgestone Arena, Jackson 5 bringing us back. Very good job, Dr. Crane. All right, I have a Titans question for you.
Shoot it, buddy. Go.
Has Tony Pollard played himself into staying on this team?
Absolutely has.
I think he has, too.
100%.
I think you know, there was a time probably 5-6 weeks ago where it looked like his time here was coming to an end. He's approaching 1,000 yards, which –
Behind that line,
which would be the fourth straight year that he has hit 1,000 yards. Two with the Cowboys and two here. He's got 5 touchdowns. He's 4 shy of tying his career high for that. He had 9 in 2022. But
let me ask you this. You ever heard one problem about him from the locker room?
Nope.
Nothing. I think he's a guy, yeah, he runs his tail off. You know, we knew his high school coach as well. His high school coach told me that, you know, he's from Memphis and said, look, that guy just caused no problem, came to practice every day like he was playing his last game. And that goes a lot for your high school coach. And he goes to Memphis, then he goes to Dallas, and he's here. I think he's earned it. And I think him and Cam have a little bond there, which is really cool. So why not keep him here? Don't go out and get another running back. Why? Yeah.
By the way, 3 straight games over 100 yards.
I love it. Let Spears do his thing, mix and match, and then I think you got something right there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
There are some good building blocks here. But, again, you got to rebuild both sides of the line. You do that, you start winning ball games. It's pretty simple. You go back to the 99 Titans team. Why were they good?
Offensive line.
Kicked ass. Yep. The 19 team, why were they good?
Offensive line.
Yeah, the 08 team that went 10-0 and 13-3.
Offensive line.
Yeah, so,
and defensive line.
Yeah, so both lines, line of scrimmage, build both those back, but keep Pollard and then build around, and then if you can protect Cam, telling you, man, you got something here.
I agree on Dan Moore. I mean, he's going to be back, but they need to draft a tackle at some point. J.C. Latham, I don't know.
Looked okay yesterday. I watched a lot of him yesterday. It was okay.
Do you think they should look at moving him inside?
I don't know.
I mean, that'd
man.
Be 3 straight years of a different position. But, I mean, is it
– maybe.
I don't want to say is that easier for him, but is that something
it is
with his size
yeah.
that you don't need – because you don't need as much speed on the inside, right?
You don't. You need power. A lot of power. He's a power dude. So,
So I mean, could you essentially have Skoronski at one guard, Latham at one guard?
Yeah.
I think they're going to need to address center and then tackle.
What's wrong with Lloyd Frankenberry?
I don't know. I don't think he's
right. No, great. No. Again, you need to address, but and then get help for Simmons. God, get it. I mean, I would love for Reuben after watching Reuben.
Oh, Bain. I love Reuben Bain.
Man, get him here and Goose. Your one job: rush the quarter. That's all you got to do, and then build out and go. Look, remember, you got to compete against 3 teams: Colts, Jags, and the Texans. Texans are winning because that defense is kicking ass.
Yep.
Right. The Jags. Very underrated defense, and that line of scrimmage for them is good. It goes back to the line of scrimmage. It's never going to change. 100 years from now, our grandkids up here will be taught. Hopefully, they won't be working at radio. But 100 years from now, they'll be talking about line of scrimmage. It'll always be the line of scrimmage, man.
I agree. I mean, look, you build from within.
You do.
That's how any coach will tell you to do it, that it's at the line of scrimmage and then you move out.
That's right.
I've been very impressed with Pollard. And you know what? I had no problem with them keeping him in at the end of the game. And as soon as he got over 100, they pulled him out.
Yeah, why not?
I was fine with that.
Work your tail off, man. I'm not usually a stats guy like that, but he earned it.
Yeah.
Behind that line?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he should have had a rushing touchdown, too.
Yeah, instead he had a Brazilian touchdown. By the way, can we talk about that play? I know. It's the end of the year, man. I'm sorry. Simmons checked in.
Oh, yeah.
How the hell did they call that?
They completely botched it.
Was it legal formation? Or
They said he didn't report as eligible, which he did. Like, if they showed the replay, because good on the commentators for saying, like, can we get a replay? And they had him right there, and he's walking in, and he's doing patting his belly.
And then the ref does that little.
Yeah, which.
Then the other ref picks it up.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Well, because here's how I knew that they knew they botched it. When Cleet Blakeman's making the call, he like looks, he's like looking around, like, "Are you sure?" And then Jeff's yelling, you know, kind of like, "Hey, I was doing that," and he goes, kind of shrugs, like, "I don't know, man.
I don't know, Jim." I mean, that was a problem with the line. I mean, so now you're gonna have to go over and actually tap. They're gonna make it the rule. You got to tap the ref.
Well, and I think John's onto something too. Just do the freaking eye in the sky.
Yeah.
Just have the ref up in the booth that can buzz down and go, "Hey, no, you got that wrong. Simmons was eligible."
Would you take that job?
And be done with it. Yes.
I'd love that job.
Absolutely.
I'd love it.
And it's like, "Hey, DPI on 32. And that's it. And then if if you want to be able to, you know, to challenge it, you can, but you're probably not. I mean, you have somebody that's up above and has the camera angles.
Right.
It's probably going to be able to tell you whether you want, you know.
Right. And I would love to pass it. I'm being serious with John. I mean, once you get past 10 yards, whatever, if I knock you down and you're defense, I'm offense.
They'll never change that. But I'm with you.
But you know that. But you can't miss a call like they did last night because the ref blatantly saw that. I mean, that was just a terrible call. But there's a human factor involved in all this and with the refs. But with technology, some of this stuff shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I'm 100%. Like, we have too much. It's kind of like the argument forever on replay in baseball. And I was like, you mean to tell me we have the technology that can tell if a ball is fair or foul, or, you know, where it hit the wall or goes over the wall, or, you know, a ball or a strike, and we're not using it?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Right. I totally agree with you on that.
Now, I don't think you should be able to review every ball and strike call. Like, I like the challenge system.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, that it's there, so we need to use it.
What's the and now we got the break real quick. What was the game, the perfect game, the Tigers and the umpire? It was the last batter.
Yeah, when it was Jim Joyce?
Jim Joyce, yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, that was an historic
moment. You cost a guy.
A perfect game.
Yeah.
Was it a perfect game?
Yep. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Hanging out at Bridgestone Arena. Where are we going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we're going to be at Santa Fe on Music Valley Drive over by Opryland. Come by. Say hi. Have a good time with us tomorrow. So we'll be at Santa Fe on Music Valley Drive having a good old time tomorrow. And very appreciative of all you guys this entire year for sticking with us and having a lot of fun. I mean, we're having some good success. And 99.999% is because of you, the listeners. So thank you, and we'll continue this into 26. So stop by tomorrow and say hi to us at Santa Fe off Music Valley Drive out there in Opryland.
And you look, with it being the last show before Christmas, we're just going to be very laid back, have fun, and not have a plan.
There we go.
So nothing's going to change.
What we do every day. We have lengthy pre-show meetings that are led by Dr. Crane and pretty intense with analytics, right, Dr. Crane?
Absolutely. A lot of numbers that I don't even know about.
Yeah. With that being said.
And he stands on his little step stool with his pointer.
And he smacks like he's a nun. Smacks your hand, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I got a paddle with holes in it.
With that, let's get to what day is it. And celebrity birthdays.
The older demographic, they know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, only three things on the list today, short but sweet. Abilities Day is today, National Cookie Exchange Day, and last but definitely not least, National Day Nut Bread Day. So,
excuse me?
It says National Date Nut Bread Day.
Oh, my God.
So you have a date?
Hit the dump button.
No, I'm just saying National Date Nut Bread Day. So that's all it is. You know what that is.
We just lost our license.
No, I mean, I know exactly. It's a type of bread.
Is this the first one, the second one?
Oh, my God.
Well,
I'm done.
Oh, my God. That's great. We tell you this is a family show.
I'm just reading off what the food looks like.
By the way, where do we stand on oatmeal cookies? Yes or no?
Yes.
Chase?
I like oatmeal cookies, yeah.
Okay.
With raisins in them?
I'm on yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Are you down with your...
I think we just sent like six cars off the road.
Oh, my gosh. Are we down with your little days of the week?
I think we might
be done.
There was only
three.
I think we might be done in a lot of ways. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. What were the three things again, Nick?
Yeah, the three things were Abilities Day.
That's why this segment is not loved by people.
That's right.
National Cookie Exchange Day.
Okay.
And then the last one was National Date Nut Bread Day. You guys never heard of this.
No. Heard of what?
National Date Nut Bread Day.
Stop! All right, okay. Down for celebrity birthdays. Our first birthday, Chase, you go first. Jim Boeheim. How old is the former Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim?
84.
81 exactly. Dr. Crane, how old is the great Elvin Hayes?
67.
78.
80. Chase gets to the point. 3-0. Chase, how old is former Cleveland Brown, Kelly Holcomb's coach for the Cleveland Browns, Butch Davis.
Former North Carolina coach. Butch is 74.
79.
Jeez, he's 74. Chase up 5-0. Dr. Crane, Reggie Wayne, former Colts receiver. Man, I throw a lot of touchdowns on that guy today. And we're going to say thank you.
54.
How old?
54.
Okay.
48.
47. Chase is up 6-0. Chase, how old is Ryan Braun? Fun fact about Ryan Braun. I was interviewing him. He was a member of the Nashville Sounds. The moment he got called up to the Milwaukee Brewers, he started crying. 2006 or 7, right in there, whatever.
Stephen Clarksville and Dylan and Antioch say we are children and 8-year olds, so okay. That is true.
I won't argue there. Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun, 47.
46.
42. Dr. Crane, actor Hector Elizondo. He was in Pretty Woman. He was the guy that dressed up Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
62.
73.
89. Chase, the great actor Ralph Fiennes. He played Shakespeare in one of those 8,000 Shakespeare movies that nobody watches.
74.
77.
63. Dr. Crane, you should get this. This is one of your favorites. American Idol winner Jordan Sparks.
Jordan Sparks, 36.
37.
36, exactly. Nice. It's 6-2.
He knows that and date nut breads.
Yeah, he does. How old is Megan Trainor? It's Patrick. He plays sports.
She's all about that base. No trouble. Megan Trainor lives here or from here?
Used to live in Green Hills.
Yeah. 38.
36.
32. Chase, how old is Diane Sawyer? The former, was she on 2020, one of those things?
Yeah. 81.
78.
80. Chase is now up 7-2. All right, we'll go speed fire here. How old, Dr. Crane, is one of the great guitar players of all time? Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick.
62.
72.
77. Chase, how old is, oh, yeah, Luther Campbell, Two Live Crew.
59.
63.
65. Dr. Crane's on the board. It's now 7-3. Dr. Crane, how old is lead guitar player Chuck Mead from the group BR549? They're not around anymore, but they were good back in the day.
73.
64.
65. Chase is up 8-3. Two more here. Chase, how old is country singer Lori McKenna? She's singing that one song.
You love that one
song. Oh, so good.
Makes you cry.
Bring a tear to a glass eye.
32.
38.
57. Dr. Crane, how old is Chris Carmack from Grey's Anatomy?
58.
52.
45, the last one. Chase, you go. How old is Greg Finley? He's the Flash. TV's the Flash. Greg Finley.
68 77.
Pretty close. 41. That's not bad. Chase wins 8-3. Well done.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do that. Thanks to Bridgestone Arena for having us today in the Preds, and good to talk to Bill Haslam, Nick Saban being introduced, which was really, really cool. And
where can we find that Bill Haslam interview?
You can find it at thegamenashville.com, or you can subscribe to the Chasing Big Joe podcast. It's also on our YouTube page and all those things.
All those good things as well. No, that was really great having Bill Haslam come up here. Very engaging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very engaging. Yeah. Try to come back for another segment. I'm like, look, man, we're done. You had your time on the show today. Again, fun time. Listen, it's the Christmas season. And look, this is a good time that we're feeling good about a lot of things because your family's in town. People are checking on you. Let's keep that going. Keep talking to people. Keep reaching out to people. Check on your friends when somebody says, I'm doing okay. Nah, they're not doing okay. Talk to them. Sit with them. and tell them how much you love them and how great they are. And look, this world's a better place because you are here. We say all the time, people, when they think about you, they smile, they light up. You light up a room. People love you, want to be around you. Please know that. Please know how dearly you are loved. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, is that God loves you.
San Francisco takes on Old Man Rivers in Indianapolis tonight on Monday Night Football. You think 49ers get that one done?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
They're a good team, Chase.
They are. And you're a good man. Dr. Crane, you're a good man too.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Hey, you too.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
DVD is coming up next live from Circus Sports up in Kentucky. They'll react to a huge weekend in sports. That's all ahead. And we're back at it tomorrow at noon here on 102.5 The Game.